Jesus was buried in a garden. In fact, the last use of the term garden in the biblical text is where his tomb was placed. In that garden. And it must have been that Mary would have seen flowers everywhere. But she would not have noticed them because her eyes were filled with tears and she was on her way to anoint the body of the one she thought still dead. But that image of the garden is really important. You see, flowers cannot bloom unless they first are watered with Easter showers. The water that falls, if it falls too hard, can flood the bulbs or the seeds that lie dormant in the ground. Or if it falls too cold in the form of snow, it can freeze them. But if the spring, if the Easter showers fall with softness and in a steady fashion, something happens. They begin to break up the ground and little things begin to come up. The water falls and softens the ground. And then what it does is it encases the seeds that are within the ground and it breaks them open. It gets into them so that nutrients can move through the plant, and the water that falls with a steady beat comes to the plant and fills its stems and roots and leaves and even its cells. Even the cells of the very plants that find the rain falling plump up and they stand up. That's why when you water a wilted flower, it begins to stand up because the water has so infiltrated it that it stands strong, the water holding it erect. Mary could see none of that day because her heart was broken and she could not notice her surroundings. But you see, that process that happens in the natural world was also at work in the spiritual world. You heard Ted read the text. This Jesus had watered the very ground that held his cross when the centurion stuck him in the side, and what came out but water. This was a Jesus in the Gospel of John who had talked about water so many times. In the second chapter, he had turned water into wine, showing abundance. In the third chapter, he met a woman at a well and included the one who had been left out and excluded. In the fifth chapter, he met a man at a pool who had been there for 38 years, infirmed and unable to walk. Bethesda, the name of that pool, which is why so many hospitals are named Bethesda, a pool of healing. Water into wine, abundance, water at a well, inclusion and acceptance, water in a pool, healing, and then water in a basin where he watched the feet of his disciples showing service. This Jesus was all about water, watering the circumstances of those who would follow him little by little, knowing that that water would do in the spiritual world exactly what it had done in the natural world, that it would seep into the lives of those who were following him, that it would soften the ground of their heart, that they might receive the word and the love that Jesus offered, that it might break open that which was holding them back, and they might come forward. It might fill them so that the blessing of God's presence made known to us in Jesus might come out in not stem and leaf, but in hand and heart, and that they might stand up. He knew it. And so throughout the gospel, he spoke of water and he watered those who followed. And that day at the tomb when Mary came forward with tears in her eyes, that same Jesus met her and turned those tears into her eyes of tears from sadness to joy. He called her by name, and that was like the steady drop of that spring rain. He called her by name, and it broke open something in her, and she called him teacher. He called her by name, and she could begin to stand erect and run and tell the disciples, look what has happened. He is alive. Beloved, we live in a time when the ground is hard. Hearts are hard, so hard one child can take a gun and take the life of another and seem not to think. We live in a time when the ground is hard. Our national discourse has ended up being nothing but fourth grade foolishness. We live in a time when the ground is hard, when bombs can blow up in train stations and plane stations. We live in a time when the ground is hard because we turn the television off because it's not our neighborhood. We live in a time when the ground is hard. Michael Hornig invited Andre and I to a gala for Holy Trinity School in Chicago, and we watched hundreds of young men and young women come in their uniforms and stand up and talk about the education that they sometimes travel 2 hours a day to achieve because the schools in their Chicago neighborhoods are racked with violence and the absence of ability, the absence of care, the absence of materials. And here these young people were headed off into their life with the grounding of a good school education because the ground at Holy Trinity is not hard, but where they come from, the ground is hard. And the ground is hard even in our own hearts. The ground is hard because we don't know what we can do. The ground is hard because we're so afraid to let that which is in us grow up because it might be cast down, it might be cut off, it might not work, and so we hold it so close. Mary was at the tomb because her heart had grown hard. Jesus had been telling them over and over, just hours before the crucifixion, he had said to them, I give my life. I know that the Son of Man is going to be given up to be crucified, and I won't see you for 3 days. But she couldn't remember that the pain, the searing pain, had caused her heart to grow hard. But oh, just the mention of her name. And today, we have to attune our hearts to hear God calling our names. We have to attune our hearts to God calling us to not have hard hearts. You heard the choir sing it, come to the water, because if you and I will come to the water that is the living water of Jesus Christ, that will soften our hearts and we will be able to feel this energy in us that is not of us, but comes from that water that breaks open what is us. And we will have energy to go into that world and to make it a better place. Just think what would happen if all Christians in the world came together and decided that the evil of poverty, that the evil of exclusion, that the evil of holding people back because of who they are would be no more. What would happen if we let that living water that Jesus gives bring to us the kind of power that breaks through softened ground, that has nutrients and power through its body and stands up straight? What would happen if we would be the beauty in the world that the natural world offers when the water finds its way to the bulb and the seed? Come to the water because we are parched. Come to the water because we have forgotten our strength and our power. Come to the water, the same water that flowed from that side, because now that side is healed and he has risen and says, if you come and walk with me, I will put in your bellies rivers of living water. The same Jesus said, I'll fill you so much so that out of you flushes water that the world out of your belly, out of my belly, John 13, out of our being will flow rivers of living water. Imagine the Savior pouring into you, pouring into me power that looks like fresh, clean water. Imagine that being poured in and then poured out on a world that is parched and dry. Come, beloved of God, come to the water, whether you think you belong there or not. Come to the water, whether you think you are worthy or not. Come to this water, because the one who rose calls you and loves you and longs for you to wrap your arms with his and move into the world of phalanx of love and of hope, of grace and of mercy, of forgiveness and of grace and of power. That is what this Sunday is about. He got up with all power in his hands, but not to maintain it, but to share it with you and with me. He got up with all power that we might be a force for love and for good. If this Easter rises in your being, if you feel thirsty, come to the water. If this Easter calls you to say the world is in need of the power that the Savior brings, come to the water. If this Easter says I want to join forces with a place that's about making a difference, come to the water. If this Easter says that you know you have something, a gift given by God that is needed outside of these walls, for the one who said to Mary, I go ahead of you, I'll meet you there, has gone ahead of us into the world to craft the path we travel that we might be in his footsteps and know the same power and know the success that he's given us to hold. Come. Come drink. Come burst through the ground, whatever might be holding you or us down. Come and let that water run through your being, and like these plants, stand straight and tall as sign and symbol to the world that God's beauty lives, that God's power lives, that God's people have received the gift of a resurrected spirit. Come. The invitation is there. Come, this Jesus died and rose for all. Come, the water is ready, it's cool, and it is for you and me this day. Come, come to the water, stoop down and drink and live. Amen.